try to have sex in the shower. I think more guys should cry in the shower. Because, right? That would be so good for guys to let it out. Because think about it. If you walk out of the shower and your boy's like, bro, were you crying? You'd be like, no, I was jerking off. And they'd be like, yeah, bro, that's fucking sick.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I just feel like young guys, like, they have so much. I always compare them to, like, a young puppy. Like, they're cute, but they're just, like, untrained, peeing on everything. Every time you touch them, the little red wiener pops out. And you're like, it's a Tuesday at, like, 2 p.m. Like, what are we doing? So I love an older man.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my long-lost partner in crime, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How are you? Thanks for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We have the, on today's TCB infomercial, Chrissy.
Woo!
Let me announce this to all the world. We have the It Girl of the Moment. What is going on?
It's Your Thing is going.
Oh, it's, I'm watching TikToks of our guest. We have the TikTok queen of comedy herself, Hannah Berner, coming in and talking to us this afternoon about all things wonderful and comedic and white men.
Perfect.
Yes.
I'm excited
I think I'm right in her crosshairs, but that's okay. I actually like, she's got a podcast called Giggly Squad, and I actually like that podcast. I think it's pretty fucking funny. And she's like very prolific on TikTok. Millions and millions of people watch her. So she is in some sense just like us. Very good with social media.
Right.
Amassing hundreds of millions of views every single week. I'll tell you who's popular on our social media is Joanna Hausman.
Oh,
I feel like 90% of our audience, no matter how big or small it might ever be, is Venezuelan. I think that's just a reality for us.
I love that.
If we could only find sponsors in Venezuela. But I think it's generally frowned upon to do business with corporations in Venezuela. Or I would. Hey, I'm not. I have no shame in my game. You want to send me some of that, some of those bolivares? Go ahead. That sweet, sweet bolivare, not worth the paper it's printed on. I'll take it. I'm okay with it. How was your vacation?
Oh, my gosh. It was paradise. Paradise. Jamaica Mon.
Yeah. We're doing some...
I drank a ton of Red Stripes.
That's it.
Smoked a ton of weed.
That's it.
And learned how to play dominoes.
You learned how to play for the first time?
Yeah,
you never played dominoes before.
Not in the way they're supposed to be playing. I guess I was just, you know, stacking them up and knocking them down.
Yeah, that's how I do it too. Yeah. I thought that was the game you played with dominoes.
Right, no.
Until I went to jail and they taught me how to actually play dominoes. Yeah.
It was a blast. I ate a ton of seafood, saw beautiful sunsets, listened to the ocean.
Man.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I know.
I'm sitting here slaving away in the studio and Chrissy comes back all sun-kissed. Not from a tanning bed.
Not from a tanning bed. I knew you were going to be a little jealous.
I am a little jealous because no matter, it's like, I don't know. I've never smoked K2 or K12 or whatever the fuck that shit is. But I imagine it's like the cheap gas station knockoff weed you get and then the real weed that you get from an actual you know, weed dispensary. There's no comparison. Sun in the sun is so much better than sun in a can. It's just so much better.
With electric lights.
Electric lights. The glowing disco ball of the...
The lure.
Last time I went to the tanning bed, they're supposed to alert you if they put in new lights. Like, hey, there's new lights in there. So you got to calm it down. You can't go the full 10 minutes and then try and stretch it for an extra three. You can't do this time, Brian. You got to settle down. Take it down a couple minutes. And they didn't tell me that. So I came out like, I could feel it when I left.
We were pretty diligent about doing sunscreen.
Good for you.
Yeah. And we still got a tan. So, and we didn't get burned.
Well, you're in Jamaica.
I did get approximately 100 bug bites.
Oh, did you?
On my legs.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize I shouldn't be putting on the smelly lotion.
No.
Yeah.
You got to put on the
the no scent.
What is that shit that they got? The all natural. Have you tried those wrist things to keep the mosquitoes away?
No, my but
I put them on my kids and it worked wonders. Really? I put them on me and it doesn't work at all. But, I'm not sure.
Well, I was going to say, it's no different than sitting out in the backyard in the middle of summer for me.
In Atlanta.
They just love my legs.
They
my
love sweet, that sweet, sweet Hoadley blood. That sweet, those drippings. One those Hoadley drippings.
What I was laughing at because I looked at my hand. I'm like, oh, they just went directly to the vein.
Yeah, that's what they do. They're smart. Yeah, they're smart. Christine, not Christina, but Tina and I were talking about this. I saw an Instagram video where in some countries in Africa, they make meat patties out of mosquitoes because of how much protein the mosquitoes have in there. Oof. And so they capture them with a net. They have like the season of mosquitoes, where literally it looks like a black, like kind of like a gray black cloud because there's so many mosquitoes in the air. And they just take big nets and they have the kids catch them. And then some guy makes them into little patties and they put them on bread. And there you go.
I'm not at that point yet.
No. But I'm getting close for other reasons. I found myself going from Whole Foods to Publix to Kroger to Costco to Aldi to the Chevron gas station with the broken sign and the fake weed. If you ask the guy nicely, he's got a special meat store in the back. Yeah, I got you covered, man.
Those little Jamaican stores were interesting. We went to two. Of them.
Like the little bodegas?
Yeah. Yeah. One wasn't even open. But then when you saw a guy on the side of the road and he was like, come with me.
Come with me. Like, I'm with me.
I guess this is okay.
Sure. Yeah. When you're high and drunk, it doesn't matter. You're like, why not?
Oh, yes. Oh. It was hard. It was like entering back into reality through from a cannon.
I know. That's the worst part about those vacations where you're off the grid. Like if I go down, if I go to New York for vacation or I go down to Orlando, not vacation, but to take a couple days off or for whatever reason, I'm not getting away from the bullshit. No. My head's still in the bullshit. Yes. But when you leave the country, especially someplace that's sun-kissed, and you generally are disconnected from your everyday, it is literally like birthing. It's like a birthing process.
It is.
It's like you cry, you whine, you kick, you scream.
I cried the night before we were leaving. I was like, I don't want to leave.
You're like, I don't want to check my email inbox. I got 30,000 emails and everybody wants money for me.
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad that you guys had a good time.
But I did come back. Yes.
Yes.
And we did. We had an amazing time.
Yeah. And we'll talk more about this on yesterday's show. The way that we're recording this. But we are super excited to have Hannah Berner. It's very nice of her to come in and spend some of her very valuable time. She is the it girl of the moment in comedy, as you may know, Chrissy.
Well, look at us getting the it girl.
Hey, listen, again, it's certainly a mistake, but we'll take it. She's probably already done all of the I bet she's
everybody
been on Smart List, Conan, Joe. Yeah, she's been on all the other ones. So they're like, well, I guess. I have an extra hour on Tuesday. I guess I'll go with the commercial break.
Yeah.
But you can check out Hannah on Hannah. I'm going to say Hannah, and she's going to make fun of me for saying it like that. But that's my speech impediment coming into play right there. Hannah is on Instagram. She's on TikTok. She's got millions of followers. You should follow her. She has the upcoming Netflix is a joke and a comedy special on Netflix. She's got lots of stuff out there on YouTube, and we'll talk to her about all of it if we can, if she'll allow us enough time. We'll talk to her. We'll talk about most of it. Let's put it that way. We'll talk about most of it if she'll allow us the time. And it certainly is nice of her to come on the show. So let's do this. Let's take a break and then a TCB infomercial coming up with the TikTok comedy sensation herself, Hannah Berner. What do you think?
I love it. Let's do it.
What do you think? Like I'm asking, like
I'm ready.
You ready? All right.
Do I have a choice?
Let's see if we can technically figure out how to get Hannah. 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 Let's see if we can get Hannah on the line. We'll be back.
I know you're already on your phone, so pull up Instagram and follow us at The Commercial Break, and then follow us on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Done? Perfect. Thank you. Since you're at the ready, why not text us hello at 212-433-3TCB? Or if you've got some drama in your life, a little fun story, or anything really, we're desperate for content. Call and leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. And don't forget to check out tcbpodcast.com because that's got it all. Speaking of having it all, let's listen to our fabulous sponsors and get back to the commercial break.
Hanna, thank you for being here. Thank you very much. Did that seem weird?
We were just talking about the pronunciation of Hanna.
Hanna.
I could give less of a shit what you call me. That's close enough.
Hanna.
Thanks, Heather.
I'll now go into my Midwestern accent. Hanna was just explaining that sometimes people call her Heather on emails, and how they get Heather from Hanna, I have no fucking clue. But congratulations to you for having so many names.
I feel like Heather is even like a, I'm like, oh, they think I'm prettier than I am. I love that. Heather. No one's ugly named Heather.
That's true. Once I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, though.
That's true.
Fact. You are such a superstar right now. You're like the TikTok queen of comedy. You're an Instagram sensation. God. You are really, I know it's hard to see the forest through the trees, and I don't know if your agents told you yet, but you're a bit of a thing. So thank you very much for joining us here on the commercial break. As we say often, you've either done the rest or you're now coming to the best. So it's like, hey, we got to make that at the commercial break at some point. I have to tell you something that has been on my mind for the last couple of days. Or the last day or so. I completely agree with you.
The last 5 minutes.
Yeah, since I just checked your Instagram. That sounds way more important than I am. I have to agree with you about something because I do this. I think more men should cry in the shower. I think that should just be a thing. We should be allowed to just let it out.
Let it out there.
Whack off. Cry. The shower should be our place of solace, and then we can meet up with our bros, as your Instagram does, and say, "What's up, dude?
Showers.
Just jacked off and got a good cry in."
No, I definitely have been thinking a lot about like the male emotions, the woman emotions, and my husband will joke with me because he's like, "Men are hormonal. As hormonal as women, just such different ways." And I'm like, and we don't talk about that. Like, sometimes men are just having a PMS moment and they need to deal with it differently, and we should just talk about it. Or like, they just channel it all into anger because it's more socially acceptable.
Yep.
So I'm out here like trying to figure stuff out for everyone because we're all coping with emotions we don't want to deal with. And jerk off and cry at the same time. And like, maybe that's how you become like Gandhi.
Been there, done that. I'm not afraid. I'm just a different
iconic.
Kind of boy.
Yeah. That's iconic.
I'm built different. Than
you
most
are.
Boys. Yeah.
And you love your showers. Yeah.
Most people think I'm on the down low. I'm really not, but most people think I'm on the down low. Let's just be real about it. I love it. I think it's a great idea. Are you into The Crown? Have you watched The Crown? This show. Reed
I've
Hastings
watched
did
some of it. He did. Yeah.
Okay, so the other night, Astrid, my wife, and I are watching The Crown, and there's a gentle scene between William and Prince Philip, and they're like talking about the Charles or whatever. This scene that's about 5 minutes long, my wife fell asleep during, and I literally wept like a baby for 15 minutes after the episode had concluded. And so Astrid wakes up and she's like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "Prince Philip." It was so great in that moment. And she's like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Great." And my wife was like, "You're such a girl. You are like such a girl. What are you doing crying over The Crown?" And I'm like, "It was just a moment. It was a touching moment. I had to do it. I got to be honest. Crying makes me feel better. It's a thing. You should cry more."
I love that. I love that so much. My husband is not a crier, except like we can't watch Love on the Spectrum without him sobbing the entire time.
That's a great show.
Like when he sees the parents be like, "I never thought my kid would be able to like find a connection with someone," and the kids hugging. The girl yes. down the day, his body starts shaking. I'm like, "What are you shaking for?" And he's sobbing, and I find it hot.
Yeah,
not the person necessarily. It's him, just
right.
like being in touch with his emotions. I find it so fucking hot. Because then a second later, he's.
He's jacking off.
About the Mets. I like a full spectrum. I love all that. No pun intended.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. So your husband is quite the thing, too. I have to say I am an admirer of your husband's. I think he's really
he's
funny.
He's having a moment right now.
He is also having a moment. Yeah.
He's a huge comedian in Ireland, who when we met during COVID, it was because he like wanted to spend COVID in Long Island, where he has a place. And we fell in love, and then he's like, "I guess I'll like stay in America and build a comedy career here.
I love that.
And he's like, I guess I'll just, he plays at the Cellar all the time. Yeah. And he's like, I guess I'll put out a special on YouTube. And it's kind of popping off right now. And
yeah.
I love him. I just think he's great. I think he's so funny. I think his comedy is so, it's like observe. He always has an angle on something. There's like always an observation there that makes me laugh. And he is from across the pond. And I just am jealous of everybody from across the pond. I don't know why. I'm into British comedies and I'm not into their food, but I think he's
you're like, men from the UK make me cry. He's actually from Queens, New York.
I know. I read this. And then he moved.
Yeah. When he was, look at me just like, I'm his spokesperson.
Go for
but
it.
But he was really naughty when he was 14. So his parents just sent him abroad to go to like a school in Ireland.
Right. You're an asshole. See you later.
Like, I don't want to deal with you. The mom had like three boys and she was like, you're like voted off the island and was sent to Ireland. And he just stayed there and then became like an incredible comedian in Ireland. Speaking of kind of that like fish out of water type thing. And now he's like has a thick Queens accent, which not a lot of people still have, but then he'll say words like bloody and quite and like lovely, which yes. Like guys don't say lovely in America. He's just like, yeah, he's very fascinating. He's an interesting person.
He's very interesting. Go to check him out. We actually wanted him and we got Hannah instead, but she's his spokesperson. So my wife and Chrissy all have something in common. You're all attracted to senior citizens. So I'd like to applaud. Us senior citizens would like to applaud
I
you.
I like
too.
An older yes. gentleman.
He's a silver hair fox. Yeah.
He is. But it's funny because I never was like into older guys growing up. I never had like a crush on a teacher. But he was a random. I actually had a psychic tell me I was going to fall for someone who wasn't my type. And
no
I was
way,
like, oh,
really?
No. Wow. And then I met this guy, he's older. And I, at first I wasn't sure. But then I now like have all these comedy bits about just how I love an older man because they're tired. And like, they're just like, they're not even going to fight with you. They're like exhausted. They're just like, yeah, whatever you want. I'm going to take a nap. And can you hand me my Advil? And I'm like, yes, babe. And it's like a simple, beautiful life that we live.
You are so right about this. You know, I'm too exhausted to fight with my wife about anything. If there's, I'm glad that my wife and I met as I got a little older and I had children as I got older, because I think that I now know which hills not to die on, which is almost everything. Yeah. Anything that my wife could possibly be upset about, I'm like, no problem, babe. I got you. Yeah. I'm an asshole. Gonna go hide in the corner. Gonna take the kids out for a couple hours. Go do your thing. Manicure, pedicure. What do you need?
Because you've been pre-trained.
That's right.
You've had previous relationships that just fucking pummeled you to the ground to be like, I've done this fight and it doesn't end well and I don't care. So it's like, I don't know if we're even compatible, but you're just like tired. I'm the person who's decided to rest his tired head on my shoulder.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I learned things from him, which is cool. And I just feel like young guys, like, they have so much. I always compare them to, like, a young puppy. Like, they're cute, but they're just, like, untrained, peeing on everything. Every time you touch them, their little red wiener pops out. And you're like, it's a Tuesday at, like, 2 p.m. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So I love an older man. And I think, like, older men are, like, yeah, they're just... They know who they are.
Yeah,
and
they're trained.
That's nice. Yeah,
we're trained. You're so right about this. We've been not, I would say, beat into submission, but probably beat into submission, and then also, we've just learned our lessons. That time and time again, knocking our heads in a wall. Our wieners don't work like they used to. Like, I'm not getting a fourth grade boner at the chalkboard. You know what I'm saying? Like. I have some measure of control over my own body parts.
He's poked all the time. And also, like, he's seen enough boobs. He's like, I get it.
Yeah. I know.
Exactly.
I don't attack my wife.
I personally am not a caretaker. Like, you know, some girls who are like, well, he basically went from his mom to me.
Yes.
That's not me. Yeah. Like, I was never that person. I'm not doing your laundry. I don't do my own laundry. Like, I don't know what's going on. So I think I had to find someone who was really, like, independent on his own. And I think when two people live two independent lives, it's like, It's healthy unless you find like your perfect fucking match and you grow together from like childhood and just like morph into one human, which we're not. We're just like two people who happen to both be like messy and enjoy similar things.
I think that's such, I think you found the one. I think you found the one, and you can tell him I said so.
It's pretty early on. Yeah,
it's early on. You guys only been married for what? A year and a half, 2 years? Yeah.
And so romantic.
Call me in 6 years when you're finding us nursing homes. That's what I thought.
Well, that's the thing. We don't have that much longer to last.
No, you don't.
I think I could do it.
I think I can outlive him.
Also, he's 48. I'm not talking about like a 72-year-old.
No, he's 48. He's
young. I'm 32.
Guy.
Yeah. And I really think anytime you're like over 26 and your brain is fully formed and you're like independent in your own way, it could be fun to like, I recommend an older man maybe.
Yeah.
Like when you're younger, I think there is a weirder power dynamic because you don't know what's going on.
Right.
Like he has money, you don't. You're like 22. So that could be weird. But dating in your 30s, I'm like, let's see you guys in their 40s.
Yeah. Do you, I have a question, but you mentioned it, you touched on it, but I get the sense. Do you believe in like psychics, tarot card readers, zodiac signs?
When I'm going through a dark time, yes.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's comforting.
You start praying to God when times are hard. I'm the kind of person that says, I know that I don't know. So like I was raised not religious from Brooklyn, New York. I'm not going to tell anyone what to believe. But I'm also not going to tell people things don't exist because I don't fucking know.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And there are moments where like if someone wants to like, it's kind of fun to think about like spirits or like intuition and like if someone has a feeling and but I'm not gonna base all my life decisions on it, but I know that I don't know a lot is all I know.
Fair enough.
That's a great way to look at
it. We have like
the same way.
Yeah, we have like a little running tit for tat with Teresa Caputo. She doesn't know it, but we don't.
That's so funny.
She doesn't know it.
My husband famously doesn't support any of it, but a psychic told me that my husband was a psychic, so I'll ask him advice all the time, and he'll give me really good advice, and I go, because you're a psychic. Goes, I'm not a fucking psychic. I'm like, that's what a psychic would say, that they want me to know he was a psychic.
He's like in the Matrix. That guy.
No, literally. He's like, I don't believe in that shit, and I'll be like, should I film my special in March or December? And he's like, March. I'm like, thanks, psychic.
Thanks, psychic. You're the oracle. I don't know if you remember the scene in the Matrix where he like gets in the elevator after seeing the oracle, and he's like, yeah, he told me I wasn't the oracle. And she goes, she told you exactly what you needed to hear in that moment. You are the oracle. He is the psychic oracle. He just doesn't want to admit it. He doesn't want to know it.
So I don't like being that person that's like, fuck astrology, don't fucking believe in that shit. Because everyone has things that they believe in to keep life more interesting.
Yeah.
But my thing is like, if a psychic is like, you should do this, and I don't do it, and things go wrong because I don't believe in psychics, then I'm going to feel like an idiot.
Right.
I'll be like, she told you what to do. You didn't listen. So
that's how I feel about religion. I'm like, I think anything's possible. Muhammad, God, Jesus. I'm not sure. I'd like to say they're all really nice people. So that way I'm covered in case Armageddon.
I'm not denouncing heaven.
No, I'm just not currently there.
You haven't seen me in church in years, but I'm not saying it's not a thing. Look, whatever people need to do to survive this meaningless life.
Yeah.
That's right.
To give some meaning to this meaningless life.
Yeah.
You, I think, have predicted my divorce, by the way. I just wanted you to know that. You, I think, are a psychic in and of itself. And I haven't told Astrid this yet. I'll get around to it when we're signing the papers. But here's the thing. You said that the guy is sus on Valentine's Day when he sends you lots of roses. He puts a picture up of you two tongue kissing, or he uses the following words. We've been through so much together, or our ups and downs. I have posted that literally every Valentine's Day, birthday, and Christmas for the 9 years that we've known each other.
Why have you posted it?
I'm kidding.
I was about to get into it. I'll be like, let's talk this through. I know a divorce lawyer.
Yeah. I always feel like I'm so grateful that this woman is even in my life, like this super powerful human being decided to come rescue me from the drudge of my, you know, former life. And so I feel like I want to say something nice. I want to let the world know that. I don't use the words, we've been through so much, because that's our personal, how much we argue is our personal business and no one else.
So I'm not saying you can't post anything. There are just certain things, which is like an absurd amount of flowers he cheated. saying the ups and downs thing again, like you guys hate each other, and then like the over kissing. But like, I so support like being proud of who you're with and sharing it to an extent.
Yeah, to an extent. I agree with you. I have these friends on Facebook and Instagram, and they're like literally post everything that they're like, they're together for 10 years too. And it just seems to me to be a little strange. There is no picture without the two of them together. There is no picture where they're not madly in love. There is no picture where their children are not going to the best private school and certainly getting into Harvard. There is no picture where their world is broken. And it makes me upset. It makes me upset.
Well, not, it's not real.
Yeah, because it's not fucking real. Because I see them together and they're like two miserable human beings just dogging around their house. I hate it.
Exactly. So I think I posted that because on Valentine's Day, I know that it causes depression. Like, there are people who are either single or you're in a relationship that, like, you like, enjoy, but you're like, but should it feel like that? Like, we're not like that.
Yeah.
So I just try to, like, with a little comedic tone, raise awareness that people are full of shit.
I love it. I like your brand of humor. I think it's a good, like, your crowd work is good. And I don't want to get into the technicalities because I don't want to bore everybody to sleep, but I like your brand of humor, and I think you're super hilarious. Obviously, social media has done wonders for you, and that's, you've kind of become like the comedic queen of TikTok. I think that's that's my term for it. You're welcome to put that on your website if you'd like to.
No, Brian Green, crazy. Yeah.
The commercial break, and then
you can
put in parentheses, we don't know who they are either, and.
He also mispronounced my name the whole entire pod.
Hana.
No, it is crazy because I think subconsciously that was a dream of mine to be like, TikTok became my TV show and I felt really free posting on it and I felt like it was hitting the right people. And I was like, if I keep posting here, maybe like people will enjoy my comedy. So for someone to be like, wow, you're really like being seen in this space, it's like, cool, because that was the goal.
It's super fantastic. And so when you get invited to, you're doing Netflix as a joke, right?
Yes, in May.
And where are you filming that?
So I'm actually not filming. I'm just doing a show.
Okay.
It was the Ace Theater, but I think they just changed the name. But it'll be like a really my first ever Netflix as a joke show. And then I'm filming my special in March. In Philly at the Fillmore.
Nice.
So it's all happening. It's all happening in the next couple months.
This is crazy for you. This is crazy for you. Okay, so I asked that question because Chrissy and I were curious. We were talking about this. I know you were at one point a professional tennis player. By the way, are you knocking down a house? Is someone, are you okay?
God,
is
sorry,
everyone?
I'm just
no.
Lower East Side.
I'm making fun. I'm just having fun.
This is the most quiet place in Manhattan I'm at right now. I'm sorry for the background noise. Someone is knocking down a building next door.
I'm just giving you shit.
That's just casual. My favorite thing about New York, I was, last other night, they started drilling at like midnight, and I know that's illegal, but I also don't know like what
to
do. I'm like, should I call? I've never called 311. Do people actually call 311? And then someone like 5 minutes later just yells, shut the fuck up. And they stopped, and I was like, that was the most New York City moment. So I can't tell these people to shut the fuck up if you want me to. That's
No. You probably literally, that guy stopped someone from chopping up a body or something. Shut the fuck up.
Something really bad was happening, and the New Yorkers were like, I'll handle this. It's funny, I realized though, I haven't done a comedy podcast to talk about. So like, I have since the announcement.
Yeah.
So this is actually a cool moment, I realize. I've just had my own pods, just like not talking about it.
Well, we're like proud of you by osmosis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'd love to watch people succeed at what they do. I think comedy, not that we do it well, we're just sitting behind a microphone. We don't stand up in front of people and actually talk. But I also think it's a bit of a noble profession. I think it allows people the relief that they need from their everyday drama and stress. And goddamn, do we need that right now? I mean, really fucking crazy world that we live in. But let me ask, I want to go back to like the Netflix is a joke moment. When you secure that special or you get that Netflix is a joke invitation, you were a professional tennis player at one point. Is that correct?
So professional is a strong word.
Okay.
I played professional tournaments when I was like 16, and then I decided I wanted to go to college, and I got a full scholarship to University of Wisconsin. The thing with becoming a professional tennis player is that it's so financially draining and difficult, because if you're not top 100 in the world, you're not making a living because you're paying for your own travel. You're an entrepreneur, your own coaches, your own stuff. So I got to the point where, like, I played a little, then I decided to go to college. And then after college, I could have gone on tour. And I just, but I just felt burned and empty.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though I spent my whole life to become a professional tennis player. And, like, yeah, I played pro tournaments. Not enough to, you don't make money.
Yeah.
And
that's like,
it was
really
a moment
hard.
Of like failure. Yeah, yeah. It was definitely a moment of like, this is all I cared about since I was 7 years old. And it wasn't making me happy anymore. And it took like years for me to admit that to myself. And then I was like, I want to move back to New York and just figure out who I am without tennis.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of find some success in the comedy world. Is when you think back on it, like, would you, if you had to make a different choice, and I know this is a difficult question to ask any mm-hmm. human being, but mm-hmm. if you had to make a choice, if God came right now, whoever she is, and says, hey, listen, you can be a professional tennis player or you can do this whole comedy thing, what would you have chosen?
This is what I'm meant to do right now.
Yes.
It's crazy because tennis, I was very athletic and I won a lot and I was like good. And it's a weird thing to preach, but just because you're good at something doesn't mean it's what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. But like I really had like so much anxiety when it came to performing with tennis. I put a lot of pressure on myself. I felt a lot of pressure from external forces, from like my parents, like financially, me draining them to like be a professional tennis player and try to make it on tour. And I mean, I did get a scholarship to college, thank God, but like it wasn't easy. And then in general, just like I dealt with a lot of anxiety and I'm a perfectionist and I was just, I kept thinking I was crazy because I was just struggling so much on the court, but I was also winning a lot. It just, I wasn't happy.
You weren't
happy.
I
thought that's what you have to be a champion. Like, you have to push harder than other people, and yeah, you're going to be miserable. Sorry, there's...
That's
all good,
for me.
All good.
But, like, that's the thing with sports. They're just, like, push yourself beyond belief, and that's how you become a champion. So I had a lot of voices that I was very confused about in my head of, like, what's me being, like, this isn't right for you versus me just being a pussy and being like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So like, I just learned how to mute my brain and just like work like an animal. And finally the universe, like I got hit by a car in my senior year of college.
Oh my God.
Like things happened that I was like, okay, like this is becoming a little too difficult. And also it became like a drug where the only time I wouldn't really be happy. If I lost, I'd be miserable. And if I won, I'd be like, thank God I won. And like, that's not a way to live. But I'm watching, I have a tennis channel on right now. Like, I always...
You're obsessed with it. Yeah.
I love tennis. It's my favorite thing. But I don't think it was who I was meant to be. But I definitely didn't catch... I almost quit a couple times, but I like loved the sport. Long story short, people are like, oh, how do you do comedy? Like, in front of thousands of people, that's my biggest fear. Like... My biggest fear was like second serve playing Duke and like all the pressure. I would just fucking crack all the time. And I feel like I actually pushed myself so hard considering my mental state where I actually didn't love competing. Like I just wanted to make everyone laugh on the team. Like if you said, Hannah, you have to make your doubles partner smile and keep her positive during this match, I could do that in my sleep. But if they're like, Hannah, you have to make sure you hit solid forehands and like don't get tight, I'd be like,
It crushed you. Yeah.
I could never. But I also like, I don't have a driver's license. Like I have like parts of me that like I can't handle, but like comedy for whatever reason, I feel at peace with it. And I remember my first show being like, oh my God, I'm going to find out right now. Am I this anxious, can never perform under pressure person? And I walked to do my first ever set and I this calmness came over me. Really? And it was like the universe was like, this is what it was supposed to feel like when you were serving.
I love that.
But I never felt that on the court. I mean, I did sometimes, you'd have moments, but I also would argue that tennis is similar to stand up in terms of traveling every weekend, being on your own out there. So like all the struggles I dealt with tennis, that like I really did cry myself to sleep at night being like, why did you waste all this effort and time on? I think that's why my comedy career has had this kind of quick acceleration arc, where because I feel like it's not my first career. It's like my third, my fourth.
The
like,
pressure is off.
It served its purpose for that time.
It served its purpose in the moment. And I've said this to you, probably. I've said it to a lot of people, including myself, which is expectations are sowing the seeds of our own misery. Like when we put so much pressure on ourselves, it smothers us.
Oh my God.
And when it's clearly not the choice, when you're putting so much pressure on yourself to do something and do it well that it's miserable, it feels to me like that's probably not the right thing for you to be doing, right?
And I think when I was on the court, I really didn't know who I was playing for. Like, I needed for my coaches. I needed other players to think I was good. I needed my parents to be proud of me. Like, I had no idea who I was playing for. Where with comedy, no one made me do it. No one even, my parents didn't even know that I wanted to do it. I never even wanted to do it. So I had this kind of, like, very not ego filled relationship with it, where tennis was very ego for me, where comedy, whenever I get off, I'm like, wow, like that's pretty cool you just did that. Or like if something goes wrong, I'm like, wow, you just like grew as a comic and you learned from that like difficult situation. So I talk to myself the way I wish coaches talked to me when I was a kid.
Very interesting. Interesting. Do you still do you get nerves when you walk? I mean, I know that's a ridiculous question because I think the nerves probably drive the ambition, right? Yeah. There's something about, it's like people that like to jump out of a plane, right? Like there's something about that adrenaline, that moment, that seven, what do they call it? The 7 foot walk or something like that?
You
like
need
the,
a little adrenaline. I do have to say, sometimes my husband gets worried by how little nerves I get. Part of it is because I'm tired. Like, the road is so tiring. Yeah. Like, when you're doing two shows night after night, and I'll do, like, because I'm doing a city each night sometimes, like, you don't know what's going on, but you need that little, you get the natural adrenaline from the crowd. Like, it really is that a dance. Like, it's not me giving a speech. It's this connection with the audience that, like, wakes me the fuck up. I do get nervous for things that are filmed or things that have like industry involved.
Yeah.
Because comedy's so funny where like something could literally not matter at all. And then they're like, oh, this one person's here and they're going to,
they're going to make or break your career. Okay. You got to get out there.
They're always like, this is the most important set of your life. And you're like, okay. So it's like you kind of, at the end of the day, what they always said with tennis is just like let muscle memory take over. But I would have trouble with that because I was so in my head. But what I think made me, two in my head with tennis is good for comedy because when I'm in my head, I know exactly like that guy with the backwards hat over there and I know which joke I was finishing and what joke I want to say next about. Like, so my ADD and stress almost is good for comedy.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think for the best comics in the world, I'm making this observation myself, nothing that they've said. And we've talked to quite a few of them. And I think we even talked to Heather McMahon about this.
Love Heather. Oh my God. I really look up to her. She's another one who's just so talented in so many ways.
She's a champ. We loved her. She was on a couple months ago and we just fell in love with Heather. Mm-hmm. But I think that God is really flows through in those creative moments of those comics. It's like that's where God is. God is not in the church. God is in the creation of things that touch and affect your life or other people's life. And comedy is one of those places where I see the best comics in the world. It's almost like they're not there. It's coming through them, right? They're not there.
Like a musician.
It's coming through them.
Well, they say like people don't remember what you say. They remember how you made them feel.
Yeah.
And I try to remember that with comedy, that it's not about like, obviously there's all the like nuances of my voice and my tone and my timing, but that comes with just like over and over again.
That's muscle memory. That's muscle memory. Yeah.
But the way you're making someone feel is this magical connection that is honestly such a high, like it's giving cult leader. Like you're just like, and it's like, it's preachy, and you're making dick jokes, but it's like all, there's a meaning behind it. But I do feel like with comedy, I'm like kind of a comedy nerd where I do feel like the people, you get to kind of say things and be free and be unfiltered and say things that other people are afraid to say. And I just kind of get off on that a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. And you are free and unfiltered on stage. And and that's why I think you may be channeling her energy while she's going through there, because you say some outlandish shit. But the fact is, like, in your crowd work especially, is that it's always seems, at least I don't think you would post anything where someone like got up and told you to fuck off and walked away, or maybe you would, I don't know. But in that crowd work, and what I've seen is like you're really punchy and good at that, and you have a way of saying it that most people, they don't seem all that offended. They're just like, this is funny, I like this, roast me. Most people don't like being roasted. How many people take offense to your, like, does this happen often where people are like, dude, what are you doing? Have you ever had like an interaction in the crowd where it just went south?
I do think like old school crowd work was like looking at people and just being like, you look fucking gay in that shirt. Like, it was very like, just like a high school bully, like pointing shit out.
True. Yes.
I do think, especially nowadays, it's like being mean is such a cop out.
It's passé.
And being mean is hacky.
It's stupid.
And being mean is like the lowest form of comedy. And especially since I've had podcasts and I talk about people, I realize like being mean is just like, oh, you're being mean for clicks. Like, that's so lame.
Yeah.
So I just, my thing is, I like people to feel like they're in on the joke with me. Mm. And I also talk to people like they're my friend. Like, we're just two people and I happen to have a microphone and a lot of power with that. But like, you're a person that came to the show and like we're having this experience together. I definitely have that mindset where like I see someone who I could tell, like maybe like the boyfriend who like maybe doesn't know who I am, who isn't sure if he's having fun, and I like to like be like, I'm gonna win that motherfucker over.
I'm poking this guy. Yeah.
And then I like to say, I build them up, I break them down, I build them up. So like, they don't even know how they're feeling. And then people be like, girls started, first my show was all women. Then they started bringing their boyfriends because they wanted me to make fun of them.
Yeah.
Then I started joking that like at the end, they're always like, she wasn't wrong about something. And like, I'm like growing the relationship. And now like more guys are coming to the show. And I think it's fun because there's always that battle of like, do guys think girls are funny? But it's like, I never try to sell it like that. It was more like, this is my shtick. And if you want to enjoy it with your girlfriend, you can.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to, you don't have to. But I do have to commend the internet, because being a woman in stand up in New York City and coming up is fucking brutal.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I know so many funny girls who are like, I want to try stand up. And they sign up for a couple open mics, one in the Bronx, one in Brooklyn. It's always like 2 a.m. All these like dudes who are drunk.
Drunk ass clowns. Yeah.
They go, you know what? I don't think this is for me. And that's why it ends. It's not because they aren't particularly funny. It's because the scene is not necessarily like
friendly
a safe space
to them. That's not a safe space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think me coming from a sports environment where I trained with a lot of guys a lot gave me a little bit of an edge where I felt like, oh, I'm like competing with the guys. Mm-hmm. I've done this before. I can do this. I can hang. But like, you shouldn't have to feel that way to make it in a career. So that's where the internet's so important, because a lot of these girls are like, okay, I don't want to go to the Bronx at 2 a.m., but I can post a TikTok today. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, you're posting TikToks and then the algorithm's going to girls. And I'm very lucky that a lot of the girls who come to my shows have never seen comedy before.
Never live comedy before.
Oh, wow.
Because they're intimidated, I think, by the scene, the setting, and the comics themselves.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it's actually like more girls, I think, are going to show up to comedy clubs if they can have this experience. Like, how many times are you like, oh, let's go to the comedy club? Like, I remember I did when I was younger because mm-hmm. I was a nerd. But like, most girls are like, let's go to a nice cocktail bar where we feel safe.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it's an exciting time with the internet for more people to have a voice, and you don't have the traditional ladder that you had to climb that had so many like blocks for certain people.
Right.
So I think it's just a really exciting time, and some people blow up and then they don't like performing live and it doesn't work out. So there's just a lot of different avenues now.
But that's okay, because maybe that's the medium upon which, like, we don't go and do stand-up.
Yeah, they start a podcast, they write a script.
Exactly.
So I think it's actually, like, such a freaking fun time.
I think the internet is like the Shiva, destroyer of worlds and equalizer of worlds. Well, yes, you know what I'm saying?
The internet is also the worst thing that's ever happened to us. So
it is the great equalizer. It is the great equalizer in a lot of ways. It's because I think it is just, the world is so small because of the internet that it's, you know, traditional stereotypes, people who may not have gotten the attention from traditional media outlets, and they're able to embark on a journey and give themselves a chance because of the internet. I was watching one of my favorite, I'm just giving you an example. One of my favorite Instagram accounts is a gentleman who is in Bangladesh who fixes burners, you know, like the cookers, the burners, he fixes them in this weird, wacky, really fast way. He'll test it, he'll throw it on the table, he'll chop it up, he'll make it better. He has 2.5 million followers, and his videos are hypnotic. They're hypnotic. Yeah. And I'm like, this dude is in the one of the poorest countries, in clearly making 5 cents per whatever burner he's fixing every single time. He is an internet fucking sensation. Tell me that his father or his grandfather ever had that opportunity. No, they fixed burners, lived and died with no one knowing them except for the people on the street who had broken burners.
Yep.
And I think that's like so great. I'm like, I'm following this guy in Bangladesh who fixes
burners.
But it's
like, can you fix a burner yourself now?
I have to be honest with you. This is a bit of a running joke. My father-in-law is MacGyver, and I am the opposite of whatever that is.
Yeah.
I will be happy.
You're creative.
I am creative. Yeah. I'm creative in the sense that I pay other people to do my handiwork for me.
Yes.
If my wife has to hang a painting, first of all, she'll do it herself because she's so much better at it than I am. But if there's like a really tricky, complicated painting to hang, you know, one of those three posters or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what she'll do? Literally wait until my father-in-law flies from Venezuela to visit us. She has a list going. Well, Brian can't hang a painting, so could you do it for
us? So no, you can't burn. You can't fix a burner.
I can't fix a burner. That's Hannah Burner. I cannot fix a burner. Yeah.
That's like me watching like one of these cleaning shows. You know when they organize?
Yes.
I love it. Well, my place is a fucking mess. And I'm like, is there gonna be an osmosis to clean my own room? Or like a cooking show that I'll never cook.
I know. It's
very relaxing. I'm like, if I only could.
Yeah. So let me ask you just a couple more questions. So when you get the invitation, I'm sure your agent sends you the invitation or something, you know, hey Hannah, you got Netflix as a joker. Hey Hannah, special, you want it, you got it. Are you just like so proud of yourself that you did this, you killed it, you made it, here you are? Because I think having a Netflix special is the equivalent of,
it's a big deal.
I don't even know, in the 80s I guess HBO specials, I'm not even sure what they did back then, but are you proud of yourself? You should be proud of yourself.
I'm definitely proud of myself. I do think
I'm worried about you. I'm like, is she proud of herself?
Not to relate everything back to tennis, but I think I learned a lot in terms of with tennis. I was very result oriented. Like I was like, if I don't win this match, I am going to be depressed. I'm not worthy. I suck. And I think I went into comedy like, I want to just be happy and I want to enjoy what I'm doing. And I really fucking love creating content. I love writing. I love performing. And that has, I think, the reason why I've started to actually get results. Like, because I'd see other tennis players, like, all these good things were happening to them. And I'm like, what are they doing different? I'm working so freaking hard. But I do think that I really do love the process. Like, when TikTok first started, I was like, I was actually late to TikTok, but I'm like, I'm posting 3 to 4 videos a day and we're going to do it. And I, like, really got lost in the sauce of, like, loving the process. So I got, my first like big get was getting JFL New Faces 2 years ago, where I was like, oh, the industry's like, they like what they see.
Yes.
And I never cared to get industry approval, but I was like, this feels fucking good.
I'm pretty happy about this one. Yeah.
This is nice. And then, but times have changed so much where I was fully expecting, like, I'm going to put out a great YouTube special. And like, that's how Shane Gillis did it. That's how like so many other great comics have done it.
Sure.
So when I got, I think some Netflix had seen me, they've been watching me over time, and they finally saw like my full hour, I think like a year after New Faces, And that's when they were like, we're interested. But I also, I told them I want to wait as long as I can before I put it out. Because they were like, do you want to put it out now? And I basically was like, I want to finish my full tour. Because the crazy thing with stand-up is that because it's art, it's never really done.
Right.
Yeah, you're like, always creating. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's no win or loss. Like I can keep doing this hour forever and keep cutting fat, adding more.
Yeah.
So there's a point where you just have to be like come March 23rd, I'm going to be like,
that's
and
it.
This is when I'm going to present it to the world. Because up until that point, I'm still like testing tones and cutting. And I could think of a tag the day before and I'll add it. So that's the weird thing about comedy. Like it's never really done,
yeah.
But you just are kind of like, this works.
It's like the brush stroke, right? What is the last brush stroke? And I know literally. People who paint. Yeah. And they're like, the last brush stroke is, it's literally can drive you crazy. Because you go to sleep at night and you say, it's finished. Look at it. It's beautiful. It's finished. This is one guy that I know. He's a beautiful painter. And he's just like, he's so good at it. And he's always talking about the last stroke. Like, and I talk about the last stroke in a different way. That's when I'm crying in the shower. But this guy... which is also a beautiful moment, but I know when I'm done. Like, I know when I'm done. That's the difference. I got it. Yeah.
You know.
He's always talking about the last stroke. I think that this is just wonderful for you, Hannah. And like I said, we're proud of you. And I have one more thing to say to you before. I know that I always feel like we have such little time with these people. I wish, Hannah, that I had 2 hours with you. But my wife is slyly angry with you because you got within 3 feet of Joe Jonas and she has not. So who's your favorite interview so far? You know, you've done the kind of these funny clippy interviews and interviews. I mean, you don't like, I don't want you to, you know, make anybody feel bad, but I also am interested to know who your favorite interview so far is.
So it's crazy. I was doing these hand on the street videos where I was interviewing comics, and then randomly some like celebrities would be like, can she interview a celebrity? And like, that never was the plan. Like that was, I wasn't trying to be like a celebrity host. I was just like talking crap with comics on the street in New York.
We know the feeling. Hannah.
The Jonas's were my first big interview, so I will always, like, I just remember you go into a room, there's like 15 like people working there, the Jonas Brothers standing there, and they're like, you have 6 minutes with the Jonas Brothers, do whatever you want. Because this is a new time where like the press don't, like, I'm the press and I'm a TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, there's no junket. So there's no like
I'm
press
directing
junket.
It. Yeah, like I didn't even know. I freaked out. I forgot to get a photo with them. Like I finished and I was like, thank you. And then I was like, how the fuck did I get a photo with them? But the funny part about me, the Jonas Brothers, was I had to ask them some questions about their new song, Waffle House. So I was like, do you prefer sweet or savory for breakfast? And Kevin was like, savory. And I think Joe was like, savory. And then Nick was like, savory. And finally, I was like, Nick, like, you're not manly if you have something sweet for breakfast. And he looked at me and he goes, I have diabetes. And I was like, oh, my God. And the whole room went silent for a little too long. And I remember feeling that like moment, like with crowd work, where I'm like, I could lose the crowd right now.
Yeah.
And I immediately start dying laughing. The guys started dying laughing. They had such a good sense of humor. And I was like, oh my God, I just made fun of your diabetes. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And then afterward, I like saw them, they were leaving. I was like, I'm sorry about the diabetes thing. And he was like dying laughing.
Yeah.
So it's like embracing the awkwardness that comes with meeting celebrities. Cause like, I met Jennifer Lawrence and she knew who I was.
She knew who you were?
She's like a Bravo fan and I did some Bravo in my past life. And she like, my phone buzzed and she was like, is that Dez, your husband? And I was like, I can't actually handle it. Like I couldn't, you can't process things.
No.
Right.
And then I remember just, I like knew someone she knew in the podcast world. And I dropped the name and she was like, amazing. And I was like, and Amy Schumer, I know you're friends with her. And she was like, oh, do you know Amy? And I was like, No, I don't know why I said that. So, like, I've embarrassed myself in front of everyone. Hailey Bieber was, like, amazing because I spent, like, an hour with her.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's Chelsea, super interesting.
Chelsea Handler was probably my most fun interview because when I first graduated college, I was teaching tennis in Long Island, and I randomly was hired to, like, play doubles with a bunch of people, and Chelsea was one of them.
Really?
Oh,
I was a huge, like, Chelsea Lately was at its height.
Yep.
And I didn't even know I wanted to be a comic at that time. I was like 22. And I spent all day with her. I was shaking. Like, I asked her, like, do you have any advice to be, like, successful yeah. in general? And she was like, I got lucky. And, like, we were laughing. Fast forward, she asked me to be on her podcast. And I'm like, Chelsea, we've met before because I was your tennis pro 10 years ago.
Oh, my yeah. God.
And it was this, like, beautiful full circle moment. But it just, it's honestly the whole celebrity stuff, it's very hard to process.
Yeah.
And then having them say something nice to you, you're just like, okay, this is, okay, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, we know the feeling. It's a little weird. For 3.5 years, we did this show and purposefully did not accept invitations or give invitations to come on the show because we were like, who the fuck is going to come on this show? It's so stupid. Why would anybody come on our show? And then we get Hannah Berner in here.
No, like the commercial break, I feel like I hear about it all the time. I feel like it's a very
We pay people to do that.
He's like, we have bots. We have a lot of bots.
Yeah, we pay Conan a lot of money to talk nice about us. Yeah.
It's this crazy time where, like, when you're putting out content, celebrities are consuming content.
Yes, just like everybody else. That's right.
So, like, they're arguably seeing someone who's going viral on Netflix more than like someone who's in an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
And it's this very weird time, but I hope anyone who's like an entertainer listening, it's like, keep creating.
Go
for
it.
You never know.
When people ask me, like, you know, inevitably everyone asks you if they learn you're a podcaster, they're like, you know, how do you do that? Yeah. I really wanted to start a podcast. How do you do this? It seems so complicated. And I'm like, get a microphone, turn it on, do it until you feel good about it. And then go. Just run. Yeah. Just run as fast as you can. And if you're meant to do it, it'll turn out. And if you're not meant to do it, it'll be a fun thing for a little while.
Yeah. You're so right. The hardest thing is starting.
It is. The hardest thing is pressing record. And, you know, remember, and we don't do that very often.
Oh, no. It's happened to the best of us.
We have 500 additional episodes. They're just somewhere else. They're in the ethos to be come back to
the
us
fact
someday.
That you've stayed together through that trauma. Because I could see one of you being like, you know what, fuck this. It's not meant to be.
It just happens that we were really truly best friends for years before this.
We didn't realize the podcast world was going to be worse than the radio world as far as money and talent was concerned. All right, Hannah, I know you got a lot of things to do and we appreciate your time.
Thank you
You're
so
such
much.
A superstar.
Oh my God, thank you for having me. You guys are great interviewers and I love talking shit about comedy.
We love having you to talk shit. So when you get done with all of your big stuff that we'll be watching and applauding for you, we invite you to come back and please put in a good word with us for your husband and with Chelsea Handler.
We'd
love them both to come on the show.
And with the Jonas Brothers. And with Reed.
I went and saw them in concert. I'm good. I mean, unless Nick wants to come on, then I feel I've had enough. Yeah, I feel like Nick's the one who needs to. We need to talk to Nick. Let's talk to Nick. I'll go. I'll be like, I know Hannah offended you with the whole diabetes thing.
We would never do that.
We are syrup free. Hannah Berner, she's got a Netflix special coming out toward the end of the year. Netflix is a joke. She's on tour currently. Go to HannahBerner.com, right? HannahBerner.com.
Yes. And
if you can find a ticket, then go. Boys, don't be afraid. She's gentle. She's a gentle lover. She'll be gentle. I promise. And she likes the older guys. So, you know, don't. If you're in your 40s, don't be afraid. Hannah Berner, check her out. Thank you so much, Hannah, for spending
time
with
us. Thank you, Hannah.
Bye. Thank you.
The amazing Hannah Berner. Yeah, I was going to do that. Me and my fucking lazy tongue. How could you be lazy on the A's? Lazy on the R's, maybe. Lazy on the F's, maybe. But lazy on the A's?
Some people do want to be called Hannah.
Well, I think it sounds much more sophisticated, if I'm being honest. It sounds like I'm British. She's probably used to it at the house since, you know, Des is running around probably saying, Hannah. Dear Hannah. Wakey, eggs and vakey, Hannah.
She was like, call me whatever.
Call me whatever.
Heather, Hannah.
Oh, she was so sweet.
I love her.
And I love when she lied to us and told us, I hear about the commercial break everywhere. And I'm like, but do you? We don't hear about the commercial break everywhere. And we're on the show. How do you? Oh, Lord. We're known in some circles. I imagine this is how it goes. Ready? Hannah's agent is probably like, okay, well, I got to drop the good news and I got some bad news too. So, hey, Hannah, great news. Reed Hastings wants an hour on Netflix. And she's like, oh my God, best moment of my life. And don't worry about this, but the commercial break is coming up tomorrow.
Yep.
Who? What? I thought we agreed to this. No commercial break. I know, but we got to do it. It makes Reed happy. Maybe Reed is watching us.
Maybe
that's where she hears from it. Well, she didn't even know who Reed was.
No,
so,
she didn't.
Yeah. And you know what? To be fair, I don't know who the CEO of Odyssey is. So I should, maybe. I don't know. I like you very much, whoever you are. You're a really nice guy. Thanks for hiring us.
Or a girl.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think it's a guy because I saw it in a magazine. Oh, okay. It was like, he's been the CEO. It's like a family thing. Anyway, Hannah was awesome. I think she just... We have had a string of really very cool comics on the show, and I couldn't be more jazzed about it.
I love it. It's always fun, and it kind of breaks up some things and gets us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, it's easy.
You're a little nervous.
What's
you
know? That?
Yeah, you get a little nervous before.
I got nervous about Hannah. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I didn't get nervous about Heather. I wasn't nervous about Felicia or Joanna. I got a little bit nervous about Reggie, but Reggie is a guy you should be nervous about.
Yeah.
Like, he could go any which way at any time. You know what I'm saying? Knowing Reggie, being a fanboy of Reggie, I knew this could go any direction at any time, but we found our groove. Drugs.
Yes. Right.
Drugs. Which, hey, if all else fails, talk about drugs.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. He ended up being fantastic. Loved it. But I got a little bit nervous about Hannah. And here, let me explain why. Because I've been keeping up with Hannah on her social medias. And she's a very sharp comic. She's like sharp mentally, but then she does such great crowd work that I felt like she could have come in here and done a master class. Telling me all the things that were wrong with me. But
she kind of explained that though when we were talking to her.
Yeah, she's not mean spirited about it.
No. But she said too, you know, a lot of women were coming to the show and they were bringing their boyfriends, and she just kind of made it her mission to get them to like her.
Yeah.
And so she would build them up, tear them down, build them up.
I love it. I love her philosophy. I think she was a really interesting guest to have on. And everyone talks about like Shane Gillis and you know, all these other people who are blowing up in comedy. And I think Hannah should be right there with them. And I think she is in a lot of circles.
She is. Because
she is fantastic. And so you should go check her out. You can go to her Instagram or her TikTok. She literally can't throw a rock into the TikTok comedy world without hitting a Hannah post. And then on Instagram, she's just really funny. Go check her out, Hannah Burner. And then hannahburner.com, where you can find out about her dates, her tour dates that are upcoming. She's going to have a few more shows. She's going to do that Netflix thing. And then she's going to change it all up. She's going to send it to the world and change it all up. And we'll be right there rooting her on, I think. And hey, thank you for being here with me.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that
I appreciate that. No, thank you. People get all upset when you leave, and so I get nervous. I'm like, well, they don't like me, so I better get Chrissy back in the studio as quickly as possible.
I have no more time off plans.
Okay, so that's good, because we are now contractually obligated to do so many more episodes. Yes. But I do want to say this. Thank you to Christina, thank you to Tina, and thank you to Astrid for being in here while Chrissy was away. It's not the most natural place for especially Astrid to be, but you know what? People love her. They like texted in and they're like, go bust his balls, you know, get on him. Here's what I think, like in my life. I think we have a lot of female listeners, and I think those listeners generally have a kind of a love-hate relationship with Brian. Like, Brian's a big dumb oaf, but he's one of us, and so we'll just like pat him on the head. He's good. He's one of the girls. Don't worry about it.
Then
when, you know, you or Christina or Astrid or Tina, you know, they kind of bust my balls a little bit, people go wild. They love it. They love it when people are dressing me down. That's just the nature of the show. Maybe that's where she's hearing. Maybe that's where Hannah's hearing about it. That asshole? Yeah, I listen to his show. I listen to him sound stupid. That's what I do. The guy doesn't check a fact. He doesn't know anything. And he just bloviates for 38 minutes at a time. That's us. That's the commercial break. Chrissy and I.
We bloviate.
Thank God you were here. Thank God you're here from the beginning, because otherwise this show would be terrible. Terrible. Now it's just mediocre, but it could have been terrible, Chrissy, had you not come. So it's good to have you back. Don't ever leave again.
Okay. Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to take out insurance on you. I want to clone you just in case.
I know.
I'll keep her in the corner. Yes. It won't be unnerving, I promise. This living,
she's
breathing.
She's the one that can come back from vacation.
Yes, she can come back from vacation. You can go on vacation and she can stay here with me. That's the way we're going to do it. All right. We got all the information on Hannah. I don't need to give it out again, but I will just in case. HannahBurner.com, TikTok, Instagram. Few shows left. Go check it out. Go check out her husband while you're at it, Des Bishop. He's really, really
fucking
funny.
Yeah, we're going to try and get him on the show, too.
I think we might have secured an angle there, because I think we've asked him before and he has said no. No, that's not true. I don't think we've asked him before. But I didn't even know the two of them were married until recently when we were doing some homework, and they're just newly married. But I was like, oh, I love Des. I think he's so funny. And he's British. So I instantaneously have a little bit of a, you know, an across-the-pond boner for him.
He's British.
Yes, I have an over-the-pond, hopping-the-pond boner for him. And I'll tell him so when he comes on the show.
Right.
That and Chelsea Handler. And okay, I guess if the Jonas Brothers want to come on, we'll suffer through 50 minutes. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the Jonas Brothers? No, either could I.
No.
They have no reason to come on the commercial break. Their agent is like, stay away.
Yeah.
All right. TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more about the show, Chrissy and I. You can also watch all the video, watch all the audio that's available out there on the internet. One location, TCBpodcast.com. Here's what else you can do. Get your free Biggie Fronten sticker. It's available to you right now. You can have this beautiful 1x1 inch sticker.
It's larger than that.
Of Brian with his Teresa Caputo.
It's not as big as this, like, huge 21 EPM.
No, I like that size, but we couldn't get that size. We didn't get that size.
Times are tough.
It's like 2 inches by 2 inches. You can get it by going to the website, hit the contact us button. I want my free sticker on the drop down menu, and then send in your address. I'll wait, and it will go straight into your loving arms to forever be chat on. 212-433-3TCB. That's a brand new phone number. 1-212-433-3TCB. Questions, comments, concerns, guest ideas, content ideas, whatever you got, send it our way. If you have a question for one of our past guests, we'll put it in the book and we'll ask them next time they come on. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok. Please don't start comparing numbers between us and Hannah, because 100 versus 2.5 million is not a fair fight.
No.
We should actually post something on there and maybe that would make it better. But anyway, all right, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
But I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
Get some cocaine!